And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel, the Holy Land. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to spend most of our time talking about Jerusalem, the holy city of God. And since I'm in the in the Holy Land, sometimes you need to touch base and remind everybody what is important and why we are here and how come we went so far away, back and forth, and what we are doing to keep the city alive and well. And you know, many people are surprised because I just came back from the studios, Studios One, they call it, to talk about, you know, the controversial between, you know, the White House or and the Prime Minister, which is, you know, it's only technical stuff that always happen when people are negotiating. Because remember, in politics, whatever happens is really for the show, because the negotiations sometimes are about different things. And sometimes what matters most is how we proceed, how we keep on going. And, you know, there are so many things I wanted to say today in the show, but, you know, they had so many minutes and so much time just for you, just to say hi and bye, and it was over. So I'm not excited about the fact that, you know, I mentioned Jerusalem, and they said to me, oh, it's not in the card right now. And I'm saying, I want to stop everything and just scream, because Jerusalem is important. So today I collected some of the thoughts that I thought, and we started yesterday with our mentioning why Jerusalem needs to be in the negotiation table right now on our side, because we want the all Jerusalem, the holy sites and everything. We want to have it all. There is no question about it. There is no question about the fact that Israel deserves to be the custodian of the holy places. We're not talking taking over. We're not taking over and giving no freedom. We are taking control, which means that freedom can be observed. And anybody who knows the Arab world and the other religions around, they aren't famous really for liberty. And by all means, the only religion, you know, the only country that gives religious freedom to all, you know, it's America. But America is the freedom place, it's not the Holy Land. The Holy Land needs to be holy. And that's where you worship God to the most scale that you should. Anyway, so I thought that it will be nice to start with one issue. The most important one is about friendship. You know, us in Israel, and us as Americans, Israelis, whatever, we remember those days where, you know, President Clinton and Prime Minister Rabin talked together, God bless his soul, talked together about them moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And why is that? Because the Congress in 1994 was awesome enough to pass a resolution, set non-binding resolution, that says that the American, or maybe it was a binding resolution, that the embassy of the U.S. must be in the capital, Jerusalem, and not in Tel Aviv. And there was a site. There is a site, but for the embassy. And sure enough, there was some discussion behind the scene, and they said that they're going to postpone it. And then Prime Minister Rabin, you know, got killed, and everything was gone. But every 6 months, the president of the USA is signing a postponement of that resolution. And every so often, somebody is calling upon him to move the embassy, especially before the election time. But you know what? This time, I don't want the before the election time that everybody will rhetoric. And please, Mrs. Clinton, please don't say that, because we saw your promises, or your husband's promises, when they went to nothing. It wasn't their fault because they actually got postponed for other reason, I guess. But the idea is, don't give me after or before the election. I want it now. We need to have some kind of trustworthiness between the two states, because we are in the midst of a so-called crisis. They are wrecking the boats, and Jerusalem is not the issue right now. They looked at me so oddly today at the TV, and I wanted to scream, "Are you for real? You know, you're talking to me like Jerusalem. There is no other issue. There is no other issue when the capital is not recognized. What country does not have a capital that is being recognized? What a condition to live under. It's like, did we have an independence already? And you're telling me that you're my best friend? All of you guys, Canada, Australia, England, who else? Nobody recognized the Christian, billion Christian you have? And we have to get the people to think about it. Let's get to a break. Let's listen to some music, and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. I believe in you. You know, I believe in you, America. And you know how much I love you all. I really do. And I want everything to be right. And sometimes the big nation that America is needs to recognize that following and, you know, keeping the promises is the most important thing. So I want to remind her today that she still have a big promise to keep, and there is no better day like today. Part of a series of collection of news that I put on in order for you to understand that since 1994, and it's been 21 years, that every 6 months there is an a postponement being done on the embassy of Israel of America in the Holy Land. Now, let's ask, why should America recognize Israel, Jerusalem, as the capital of Israel? Because it is. Now, why we know that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel is because it's in the Bible. And why it's in the Bible under King David and King Solomon, it got destroyed, of course. But then we came back. Now, so who's right, the one that destroyed it or the one that came back? And let's say, even though that we came back to the land that was taken from the Turks, by the, you know, the coalition of the willing, as they are usually, and Britain got the mandate to keep it going. And we are there from the resolution to the amendment of, you know, the Holy Land for the Jewish people, Palestine for the Jewish people, but they didn't know what to do with Jerusalem. And we had a great rabbi saying that it's God's city. And nobody really understood that he cannot say anything about the land of Israel because he didn't know what to say. Why to ask a rabbi, United Nations, what to think about who, you know, what your status of Jerusalem? Ask me. Ask me. Why to ask Jerusalem? You know, it's the city of God. Yes, it is the city of God, and we are the custodian. That's our deal. And it's about time we know. Now, I would like to hear some more music and we'll be back. Oh, maybe we have another tape that we can play to you.
October 1995, the U.S. Congress passed the Jerusalem Embassy Act, which called the United States to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and for the U.S. Embassy in Israel to be moved to Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem is the calling of every Jew, the dream of 2,000 years to return to our capital and rebuild our city. Every Jewish wedding for thousands of years, we break a glass remembering the destruction of Jerusalem. Every time we eat bread, we pray to rebuild our capital. Three times a day, every Jew around the world faces Jerusalem and prays to come home and rebuild our capital. Jerusalem, our eternal capital, is mentioned over 600 times in the Jewish Bible. And despite the fact that the Knesset, Israel's parliament, the Supreme Court, the president, the prime minister's home are all located in Jerusalem, the State Department and the U.S. administration, who claim to be our greatest ally, do not recognize Jerusalem as our official capital.
What is the capital of Israel?
We are not going to prejudge the outcome of those negotiations, including the final status of Jerusalem.
Does that mean that you do not regard Jerusalem as the capital of Israel?
Jerusalem is a permanent status issue. It's got to be resolved through negotiations.
Seems to suggest that you do not regard Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Our policy with regard to Jerusalem is it has to be solved through negotiations. That's all I have to say on this issue.
The administration's refusal to take a courageous stand for truth, to honorably reflect the will of the American people, and to loyally defend an indispensable ally, it's a tragedy. Since our creation, the United States has not ceased making demands of Israel, often in direct conflict with our own security. Our economic interests, or even the principles we are founded upon.
Now is the time for Israel to make demands of its own. Since 1995, every 6 months, the U.S. president defers the bill passed by Congress, the elected officials of America, representing the will of the American people. Enough is enough. We want our greatest ally to take a stand for truth, fairness, a stand for justice, and to lead the way for the rest of the world to recognize Jerusalem as our capital.
But before we can make any demands of others, we need a strong voice coming from the government of Israel, from the people of Israel, a voice that will reflect those values. Jeremy and I are running for Knesset in the Beit Yehudi party because we believe Jerusalem is not just another issue that needs to be discussed. It is the issue that will determine Israel's very survival.
Now more than ever, Israel needs bold spokesmen to the world. When elected into office, we will immediately change Israel's posture. Instead of apologetic maneuvering, we, the people of Israel, will demand what's rightfully ours, that the world recognize Jerusalem as our eternal capital.
And that was one of the most incredible talk show hosts who spoke about the status of Jerusalem. Now we have one more to go, and let's listen to that. And we are back, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. A little glitches today, but the idea is we are going to show you how many times people are saying Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish state, and there is no one who can claim it. And anybody who wants to even claim a bit of it is it's bogus. because I wanna really challenge the fact that there was never a Palestinian state, and the partition plan of the UN was made in 1947, November 29th, was to divide Israel with an Arab state. There was no mentioning of a Palestinian, because the Palestinian was the name of the land of the Holy Land. So I know it's giving you some, you know, headache now. We've been talking for the last 20 years about a Palestinian state, and I'm saying, no, it was supposed to be an Arab state. It means that the Arabs, you know, that lived in the place, who live here, they can have a place. That was the plan for them. It wasn't the plan to have a different entity coming, calling themselves Palestinian, because as I recall, there were Palestinian, you know, IDs issued for Jewish people who were born there before the partition plan or before the declaration of the State of Israel. So the issue of Jerusalem is not about who is right or is wrong. There is no right or wrong. It belongs to, by the Bible, and by the power that of, you know, of history, is belongs to the Jewish people. And I can't believe how many times we need to ask the world to recognize us. It's like recognizing Israel. You cannot recognize a Jewish state, a Jewish capital, because that's the whole heart of the Jewish state. Without Jerusalem, why we're here? So I'm not calling about only the president of the USA to stop, you know, pushing it the way you want to make a difference. This is the time. I know that it's out of the blue now that everybody's talking about Iran, but I'm tired talking about war. I want talking about praying for God, because if there is anything I need a spiritual place to build, to bring the people in crisis to come and pray. And if there is any moment in time that people wants to pray, is before somebody wants to attack it, not after. It's enough with the afterwards, and we'll attack Iran, or we're going to limit it to Iran if she attacks Israel. No, thank you. Please don't. Just recognize Jerusalem. Give us the space. Let us pray to our God and give us some space in time. Let's listen to this. I got another spot for you on the same issue, of course, Jerusalem.
When I wrote to him that I am ready to take risk for peace, he answered me what I have never received from anyone elsewhere in the world. He said, if you are ready to take risk to peace, we, the United States, will do our utmost to help you to minimize this risk for the sake of peace. Your prize, and especially the fact that it is called after Prophet Isaiah.
Our mission of achieving peace. You got this
Prime
side
Minister,
here.
Well, he does too.
Yeah.
As the journey toward Middle East peace advances, the courageous leadership and vision of the Prime Minister will become more clear to all the world, and they will serve not only the people of Israel, but all people in our generation and those who will inherit the earth.
We have lived to see, and the Prime Minister has been an instrument in proving that negotiations work. Peace is possible, but it takes courage.
on behalf of House Democrats to stand.
There are no two Jerusalems. There is only one Jerusalem.
There is only one Jerusalem. That's the Prime Minister of Israel, then Prime Minister Rabin, God bless his soul, that actually sacrificed his life in the name of peace, the name of the crazy man that wanted to kill, he wanted to stop the peace. But then it was President Clinton who, you know, together they hold hands and pray for peace. And right now we are looking back on those 20 years and what happened since. What was the big sacrifice that the Prime Minister needed to give in order to give to people that did not recognize Israel right to exist, does not recognize the Jewish state, does not recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel or even a part of it? I think that it all was in vain. If we're talking about the courage, we have courage. Don't talk to us about courage. Jewish people have a lot of courage coming back and fighting all those goons. But trust me, there is no reason to even stop and thinking, oh, maybe there is a negotiation. Right now, we want to see what was promised being kept. And the promise was one united capital for Israel, for the world to come and worship and pray and hope and give all the kids a place where they can know that there is a God and it's there, you know, it's all over, but in there that they can actually feel it. And I don't know what you guys' relations with God, but recently I've been challenged a lot of times. And I know in the South, with all my friends in the Bible Belt state, they know God, and they have no question about the fact that God exists, and there is so many things that we can do together to be worthy before Him. But for some reason, there are people who insist, but they insist that, you know, they need better than proof. And they've been looking around. And looking around is not helping. You know, it's like you have one love in your life and then you look around to see if there is a better love. There is always something, you know, charming. But at the end of the day, who is you or who is like you is what important. When you talk to somebody and you know that is, you know, like your brother, you understand them clearly. They come from the same place that you are, and they love in the same way you are. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to start looking all over and say, oh, let's look. Maybe there is something else. You know what they call this after? Divorce. So you can divorce yourself from God, or you can be with God Almighty. And you can find a way to, you know, to cheat yourself from the love that God could give you. Yeah, because what the heck? You think that God will stick around, you know, see if you come and change your mind? I'm too cool for that. Really too cool. You cannot, definitely cannot think that it will be like that for you. You know, that abusive life that you can come and go and back whenever you want. I'm so sorry, because there is so much to do. I think that it's so much to help, so much to build, to fill up a whole continent, to grow food in, create a tomorrow. But for some reason, people decide that they like to fight. Even Hollywood, they decided to have that part in history. You know, you cannot blame anybody. We're not blaming. We're just saying we live in that so much greediness that people forget that it's not ours, all the universe gift. Like the ocean is not ours to throw stuff on it or in it. It's not the land is not our to throw poison or to do whatever you want to destroy it. You just have to keep it. Keeping it is safetiness for the rest of the world, because you never know what can tomorrow be bring, right? I want to listen to more music so we can turn on today's event and see how we're gonna make history.
Never know when you're gonna meet someone, and your whole wide world in a moment comes undone. You're just walking around and suddenly everything that you thought that you knew about love is gone. We find out it's all.
This is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. And we've been making some imaginary world out of all those things that we've been talking. And Doug was coming up with a great, great name. But, you know, we have to stick to the Bible. You know, that's something that you want to do when there is some crazy time coming around. You better stick and hold on to the truth. And that's when there is so much fog, you know, you cannot see, or the rain is so strong, you need to find that division line to keep you going. This is it. You know, you stick to the Bible and come back to the truth. And that's what we had as far as going back on the name thing. Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel since Kingdom of David. King David decided that this is a place. But the important thing is when he saw that place and he built himself a house, he said, how come I have such a great house when the house of God does not exist? And he saw the tabernacles, you know, the one that holds the Ten Commandments or the scripture from Mount Sinai that Moses brought down to the universe. And he realized that we need to have a space for God. And, you know, we never found the tabernacle since the destruction of the first temple. It's been gone. And the second temple, it never been there. So, actually, the spark of God was not there, they say. And, you know, what's the spark of God? It's that energy that makes the miracles, the energy that brings the life, energy of life. And if you have a soul, you must believe that something is going on, because you know that we are not the same. And if we are, you know, if something triggered a thought, triggered my mind right just now. If people think about the universe and said, oh, this is it. This is what the creation made. What is it? God is the creation. No, the creation. Okay, so if the trees are different and human is different and the spark in each of us is different and one knows to sing, one to know is a dance, one is tall, one is short, what is it? you know, how come we are so different? It's because to keep entertainment. And anyway, to create something, you have to start from something, right? So there is no zero-sum game here. There is always some minute, second, that God was first. So I know, I have friends that, you know, ridicule the idea, and I can't believe they've lived so far to not understand that the idea of God is not an idea, it's an event of a life of a human being. Every human being has his own spirit, and that spirit calls himself, you know, every day. It wakes you up, it puts you down, it tells you what to do. Yeah, you listen to it. Sometimes it fights with you. Sometimes it makes you sick. Sometimes, you know, it makes you beautiful, up to the way you are. And if you are really in sync, my goodness gracious, you can never be as happy when you're in sync with God. When you're in sync with God, everything flows smoothly. It's like the universe opened the doors, like the angels are running around you. It's like you're walking and there is a door open again and again, and it says, my goodness gracious, it's all green light today. Yes, it is. Because as the rabbi from Lubavitch, a rabbi that used to say, and he was a huge rabbi, you know, I can't believe that, you know, people are writing books and they think they're so smart and clever and beautiful and good looking, blah, blah, blah. And they forget that God exists. And the Lubavitcher rabbis used to say so many things about God and the universe, and of which I miss the point right now. It drives me crazy, but it's okay. I'll keep it going. But once we learn, once we learn how we walk, and we know the spirit that gives you to get up every time, and, you know, you bend, and when you are humble, you can walk with God. And as the Rabbi Milubavitch used to say all the time, that you can walk behind, you know, the material life. You can have no obstacle. Your feet will never touch any stone, or you'll be stumbling, because you would walk with the grace of God. And that's the minute that you know you're a lucky man, a lucky girl, because you have God with you, and it's all what it matters. And then love will come in your door. You're beshert. We say beshert. What a beautiful name. It's beshert. It's from Yiddish, I think. It's like your soul. Yeah, your half of the soul, she'll join you, and she'll come to you, and she will say to you, hey, I'm here, and I'm here to stay, so don't kick me out. And you know what? If you don't believe it, I guess that you'll find out when I'm gone. Anyway, I'm sorry. I had to say that. I love you all. It's such a pleasure having the time to spend with you. And I know Sunday, Monday, it's a consecutive, so it's a continuation from yesterday's show to today, which yesterday was incredible. Today, after the TV audience that I had, which was frustrating because I didn't get to talk like the way I wanted to say things. And you know, my way, I don't hold back. To say bad thing. I don't say bad thing. I love everybody. What are you guys are talking about? So I want to listen to more music. I know we have 15 minutes to go. I cherish every second, so just keep it going. And we'll be right after that.
Some noise, we like to pick you up, like to take you out. Hitting
need to enjoy ourselves. It's August, guys. It's August 10. I hope you enjoy it, because the kids in America is going to go back to school soon, and it's already, oops, we have to buy all this stuff again. It's another year to start. I'm not jealous at all. I remember running around already like crazy, and sometimes it's just pure craziness and rain and everything together. But it will be nice to get your life back on track, because when you are on vacation, the kids are all over. But in Israel, it's going to be another 20 days before they're going to go back to school. And trust me, we need some melody, some music, some hopping on the beach and relaxation, which will bring us to the next season of, wow, Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have a new year before you guys all, because our September is the starting of everything. So we'll have to start with repentance, with asking for forgiveness. We're going to start with all those good stuff on Sundays where I got my Jewish prayer time available. And we can talk about repentance, but forgiveness also. And about, you know, that occasion where you talk about just now, and, you know, that you have a special capacity and then it's gone and you don't know how you're going to pick it back. Just remember, if your brain was in a certain place, it's remember to go back. You just have to remember that sometimes it was just enlightenment versus the place. But once, guys, once you touch something very, very, very interesting, please, just please remember that it's impossible for you to forget. You need to keep it up. And, you know, like you are good looking, you are in a place, how you're young, you need to get married. That's the time. It's not like, oh, we'll wait, I'll be good looking forever. No, you have to get married now, because that's the way it goes. Then you have baby. There is a certain time. You get the capability in a certain time. Don't use and waste it. Every time people are, struggling with something or forget, they have to remember, like, the good stuff goes away. Also, the bad stuff goes away. So please, just enjoy. And as the summer is going to go again fast, maybe we want to enjoy it this time. And, you know, after the year that we had before, remember, we were on the show when the war started here. And it wasn't even funny. We were, you know, shelters and running and the sirens every week. Oh, my God, it was awful. I didn't have a summer, but I didn't go to the beach since then either. So I need a tan real bad. All right, guys, let's listen to some more music and we'll be right back. And maybe we can talk about something before I let you go for the day.
Et si tu n'existais pas, dis-moi pourquoi j'existerais. Pour traîner dans un monde sans toi, sans espoir et sans regret. Et si tu n'existais pas, j'essaierais d'inventer l'amour. Comme un peintre qui voit sous ses doigts naître les couleurs du jour et qui n'en revient pas. Et si tu n'existais pas, dis-moi pour qui j'existerais. Des passants endormis dans mes bras que je n'aimerais jamais. Et si tu n'existais pas, je ne serais qu'un point de plus. Dans dans ce monde qui vient et qui va, je me sentirai perdu. J'aurais besoin de toi. N'existait pas, dis-moi comment j'existerais. Je pourrais faire semblant d'être moi, mais je ne serais pas vrai. Et si tu n'existais pas, je crois que je l'aurais trouvé. Le secret de la vie. Simplement pour te créer et pour te regarder. Et si tu n'existes pas, dis-moi pourquoi j'existerais. Pour traîner dans un monde sans toi, sans espoir et sans regret. Et si tu n'existais pas, j'essaierais d'inventer l'amour. Comme un peintre qui voit sous ses doigts.
All right, and we are back, I guess. It's Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. Wow, that's a wild show today, I'm telling you. Sometimes you get up and down. And, you know, I've been watching the fun comedy stuff that's been around American TV. And, boy, I must tell you, I am so pleased to announce that there is some humor in our life. The laughter is back, thank God. You know, take away the money from people and they start laughing because it really doesn't matter because it's still you. That's what it is. It's important to remember that you are who you are and you are not dependent on things. Things come and go and they float around. Oh boy, trust me. And we have so much of everything. And one of the shows today that I listened to was about, you know, English that was telling about America. He says, you know, America will come to the time where she goes through a museum and be ashamed of herself like we English are when we go and find, you know, all those history in book where we been there. So, you know, the Jews don't have that problem. Because it's always, you know, they are God before. But this time, we need to make this country worthwhile. They are ashamed. They should ashamed only for not keeping the boundary of God. And they have a lot of things to shame. Everybody, you know, have to be mortified one time or another. But they were talking, that English guy was keep on talking about American stuff. When you go to the mall, he said, wow, you guys have the biggest mall for BS, for nothing. You know, you can create all those dolls and let me stop here 1 second and remind you all. I've been to, I'm not going to mention the name of the brand, but I'm going to talk about it. I've been to a store where they sell stuff for dolls. My daughter liked one doll and she wanted it. Now, I don't know how she arrived to that, but she wanted that doll. That doll was mighty expensive. So you buy that doll, then that doll has clothes. So she has clothes. Okay, you buy clothes. Then you want to take her to the store to buy more clothes for that, and you find yourself in a huge, huge store for dolls where you have outfits for dolls. Then Okay, that's to the Ken, because the, you know, you could take it to a nostalgic, oh, this is the dolls of the 16th century, this is the way they used to dress, or this is when she polos, that was it, or she goes tennis. You know, if I, it wouldn't holding a ticket of $35 shirt, I wouldn't mind, but it was the price. But the worst case in that place was looking at the bench, and there was a line of women standing there waiting for customers. And I say to one girl, what are you doing here? She's saying, we are blow dry the doll's hair. It's a hairdresser for dolls. Dolls. You understand? So I said to her, you better look for another work. This is really silly. What are you doing? And I, on that note, let's keep the, ourselves a little, let's take ourselves more seriously and respect ourselves and respect our money and respect the creation. You know, you want to make a doll? Make it. But make it from whatever. Don't spend all parents' money. It's ridiculous. All right. This is it, guys. It's been a wild rocker. This Monday, I'm telling you, I won't never take another show before you guys because they take the spirit out of me. But I'm back, and I'll be back on Wednesday. So God bless you all. Take care, and ciao, ciao. This is Orly Betty Davis. Stand forward. Love you.